I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
どこいるんだ。
本当？見えないでしょ。どこにいるのかな。見えない。
あ、
こんなとこ
だ。
I miss you. What's good, internet? It is March 21st. I had to look at the bottom of my computer. March 21st, 2018. You are listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 143. I'm your host,
Austin Walker. 143.
Wow. It's World Poetry Day. I love you, poetry.
Great.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Danielle and Danica both here, and they love you. They want to let you know. Yeah. Also joining us, Patrick Klepek, whose love yet to be known.
Look, yeah, let us know.
Give me my ship back, Sea of Thieves. Give it back to me. I took it. It's mine. Candyman 512165XX55. You know who you are.
Okay, we'll get to Sea of Thieves because we've all been playing some Sea of Thieves. It has been a very busy week. It's a snowy day today.
Oh my
We're
god!
We're all cooped up playing video games, and it's actually beautiful out.
It's really nice.
It's like the best possible snow.
It's like snow flurry with like soft, big, huge flakes.
Yeah, totally. It's like not
the
that
size
hot,
of my hands.
They're gigantic.
Giant flakes.
Yes, totally. So lots of gaming happening, over on the site. We've been doing, an ongoing feature that's a little heavier, but is, I think important. I just want to shout that out really quick. I don't want to get too deep into the woods with it today. But we're doing a series, on guns and games, ahead of the March, for Our Lives. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. It's such a good name and such like a sincere and, like, genuine request. Just like, hey, what if kids didn't have to get shot anymore? Hey, what if we actually tried to take some steps towards regulating guns in this country and even analyzing it, right? What if the CDC could research gun violence again?
One dog dies on a flight and there's a proposal in the Senate the next day. 17 yeah. kids gunned down in Florida. Yeah. I don't know. We got to think about it.
We have thoughts and prayers.
Yep.
So we've been running stories all week about guns and games because while we were, you know, fairly convinced, pretty fucking convinced, the science is in, games don't lead to direct violence, we do care about the medium and about the ways in which content in the medium, how it is. Like, what is it good? Are guns being used well in games? Like,
we spend most of our time playing video games wielding a gun. Like,
yes.
That's probably true for most people. And so it's like, yeah, like the whole idea was just examining what that is and like the different ways guns intersect with video games and
we're gonna talk about two games today and both of them, despite being games that are about creativity, despite being games that have a lot of other things going on, there's still games that are like, okay, time to shoot people, and that's okay. Like, I'm not dissing that's a thing or that's worth doing or anything like that. But I think it's interesting that even when we have these breakout games, even these games that feel so distinct and different and are making a large impact on the world, one of the primary verbs is still pull the trigger. And it is unquestionably that. It's often just the same as many other games. Like, the feel might be different, but the gist of it, which is like, oh, I'm gonna kill that guy, is not.
The fact that, like, we call it triggers on a controller in itself is like pretty telling, like, in terms of this is shaped a certain way, and like the actual like implementation.
We need a button for this because we do it so often. Yeah, and it felt good, right? Like, this is the thing. Like, I picked up an Xbox 360 controller for the first, or yeah, that was the, you know, the Xbox, the original Xbox controller had triggers, right? Like the actual curve. No, because that had black and white buttons and just like top buttons, right? That just had L1 and R1. Xbox 360 was the first, like, oh, this is just a trigger.
Yeah.
And it felt great because so much of what we did in games was pull triggers. The thing that caught me this week while I was writing my open letter to kind of kick things off was I realized, like, we talk about lots of acts in games that are not combat. We just call them combat. Lots of, like, killing people in games when they're not fighting back, or when you're like, you know, we talk about stealth combat. My God, my dog, that is just murder. Like, when you just stab someone in the back, it ain't combat really. It's just violence. But we've just kind of like, we've kind of just kind of wallpapered over it and not had those conversations. And again, it isn't that these acts in games or that this sort of content leads you to violence. Patrick has a really great podcast up on the feed. If you haven't listened to it yet, you should go back and listen to Patrick talk to a research psychologist who actually previously did work that he saw being used by people to say that games
lead to violence. Yeah, he's been studying games for like 10 years and sort of like the links between like potential aggression or just like the emotional reaction people have. Mm-hmm. And the way he originally wrote his research 10 years ago, not making the argument that games make you violent, but it was written in a way that it could be interpreted as like, when you're looking for explanations on mass shootings and you find out that, you know, the kids are playing Doom or, you know, whatever the case, it was easy to take this research and start drawing that parallel. And so the researcher I talked to, you know, cited Sandy Hook as this sort of moment when they went back to their research and was like, okay, we need to rethink how we're contextualizing this, how we're talking about it. And it was a really interesting interview because for us, I think we all take for granted, both from our own experiences and because it's always been the science has pointed in the direction that, you know, there is no correlation or the correlation is not meaningful in a way that, you know, society needs to be worried writ large. There are still lots of misconceptions that I had or things that I wasn't unaware of. Like, it was a really fascinating interview. And even if you're not interested in the violence part, we talk about, you know, sort of like whether the getting classified as addictive and the nature of loot boxes and kind of how that stuff are sort of the next big hurdles or not hurdles for games in the future.
Yeah, so that was great. We've a bunch of stuff up on the site. Danielle, you just ran a piece today on Ben Burbank, a friend of yours, a developer at Campo, right?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I actually didn't even know. Like, he's a friend of mine, of course, sort of through Campo, but I didn't even know that his family had actually been threatened in a mass shooting. They're okay, like, I have to say that first, but he got a text message one day from his wife that starts with, "I want you to know the kids and I are okay, but..." And then went on to explain that, like, she was in a parking lot and there was a shooter who fired rounds sort of into the crowd and, like, looked directly at her and she ducked, like, at the right moment, basically.
Right.
And he had been playing games sort of pacifist even before this happened.
Like, as, like, you a, know, he, like, a like
Call of
like
Duty
a
or, yeah, like, as a challenge, as sort of, like, a fun challenge just to play games and see how far he could get without, like, ever shooting, basically. And he has not fired a gun in a game sort of since that attack happened, and sort of going into, you know, his own personal feelings about guns and his own personal feelings about media, because he has kids, and, you know, sort of talking about that a little bit.
Right.
Really, really interesting story. He's a pretty awesome dude, and, you know, he's designed several games that I think folks have liked. He used to work at Campo Santo, he used to work at Double Fine, and now he's at Campo Santo. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, go read that. We have some more stuff coming up all week, so look forward to that. I think maybe Friday we can have a larger conversation about it and dig in. Maybe we'll see if something else has our attention by then for the Friday pod. But today, turning our vision from one part of culture to the other, from the guns to the celebrity. I guess it isn't, right?
Like, we're talking like games with guns, and now we're going to be talking about like celebrities and more specifically like hip hop stars.
Right.
And I feel like we know from experience, like Chief Keef also, remember, he plays GTA online. He loves it.
I know. Sorry, but I mean Drake specifically clearly plays Fortnite. And the other thing that we know about Drake is that if we mess around, we're gonna make someone around him catch a body like that. And so
right. Like, and also involved. Like don't call him at 6 AM to cuddle with him.
Exactly.
We know a few things. He doesn't take naps.
Well, now we know why we can't call him at 6 AM.
Right, because he's busy playing Fortnite.
Right, exactly. So to set this up a little bit, this is I've been wanting to talk about this literally for like 5 days now. I took all of my power not to do a hot take. I kind of tested out some hot takes and none of them were things I could live by. And so I was like, no, I'm gonna
honestly
pause
we
on this.
you and I, because we stayed up till 5 AM watching that stream, should have immediately jumped on a call.
Away.
Yeah.
100%. So was this on Friday or was this on what day was this?
It was
during Sunday?
The No,
it wasn't Sunday.
It was Friday, or it was Thursday.
It was Thursday.
Yeah, it was during the week.
It was last Thursday. So for a setup, Fortnite has been is another battle royale game.
Please give me some setup.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do you need that? Do you need some setup, Patrick?
I need some setup.
All right, because it's a weird thing, right?
I know some data points, but I don't know if I could put it all together. So please, all right. Continue.
Fortnite. Game comes out by Fortnite 7 years ago is announced. Eventually, it bubbles
not
up
a
and
joke.
Comes out.
Not a joke.
Not a joke. We're talking about practice. Fortnite announced 7 years ago, some amount, like 6 or 7 years ago, genuinely. Finally comes out last year. Its initial mode is a kind of cooperative mode that doesn't find a lot of success with a wide audience. But, you know, it finds some success.
It does okay. Like, a lot of games these days come out and do okay, but there wasn't right. like a sense that it was going to make a mark, that it was going
totally.
To last beyond like the 30-day cycle that you'll go
yes.
through, like a game
yes.
that you this game is fun, my
friends are playing it
exactly
right, which I worry about Sea of Thieves. We'll wrap around to that in a bit. So it comes out, does okay that year. Of course, last year Battlegrounds is everywhere. That's the thing that's blowing up. And after a month or two, somewhere in there, after Fortnite is released, Epic releases a battle royal mode of their own called Fortnite Battle Royal. And there is, I think, from a lot of journalists and critics like us, a sort of like, fuck off. Like, you are just, I can't believe that you are hopping on this train.
I think Patrick did a piece on it.
Yeah, they took the name, they put imagery that was similar to it in like their PlayStation blog post. Like, it was
well,
like,
and that was the big thing, is they beat them to console. They beat Battlegrounds to a console, which opens up so many more players. And while the main Fortnite mode or game was still $60, the Battle Royale mode was free to play, which meant like you just activated everyone in their adolescence, like, who has a console.
Right.
Like, oh, we're just going to play this game now.
At the time, Battlegrounds, remember, like, was still only on PC. This was pre-Xbox One version. And even on the PC, it was still required, like, a really powerful machine in order to play it at, like, a, you know, the optimal, like, roughly 60 frames a second for the kind of precision game like that. And so there were a lot of things in Fortnite's favor that Battlegrounds, like, I mean, granted, Battlegrounds should have been running a lot better than it was at that point for how long it had been, but those are just sort of, like, where, you know, some of the make of things was at the moment.
Right. So the long and short there is, I think a lot of us kind of, like, turned our back to it a little bit because we thought it was just, you know, bandwagon, not even bandwagon-y, like, it just felt grimy at the time, especially because there was some talk, and who knows, you go back and forth, you hear a lot of different sides, about maybe not code being used necessarily, but engine optimizations that helped Battlegrounds run were also being used to help Fortnite run, because they're both Unreal Engine optimizations,
it's similar,
right?
So actually, Epic's been involved in sort of controversies like this before. People remember when Gears of War originally came out, there were games that were released in Unreal Engine 3 prior to Gears of War coming out. Or what was the case? No, it was before Epic released a PS3 game. Unreal Engine that's the case. Before Epic released a game on PS3, like the Unreal Engine ran most efficiently on Xbox 360 because they built Gears of War for Xbox 360. And so on PC and Xbox, like, the Unreal Engine ran really well. And then famously, PS3 had like a difficult architecture and an engine that was not optimized for PS3. And so lots of PS3 Unreal Engine games ran poorly. And this is where, you know, the Silicon Knights lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. You can go down your own rabbit hole on like a lot of this stuff. But like, this is a similar situation where, and Epic made the argument at the time that, hey, like, we didn't build our engine for this. You built your game to do that. Until we do it ourselves, it's not going to be as good as it can be, which is, like, right. I actually buy that argument to a certain extent, and this was like a sort of like a revision of that argument, except in the context of Battle Royale.
Exactly. So regardless, the game comes out, and while we're ignoring it, it's growing and growing and growing.
But not just ignoring it, like, not writing about it, not reading about it. Like,
which is
like straight up, I looked at that game and said, nope. And like, I just moved on. Like, I didn't, it went in the rear view mirror. And I think everyone did that. Like,
I played
all my friends did it.
I played it. I immediately downloaded it.
Right.
Like, so I,
once also. Did you play it more than once, or did you just like...
No.
Okay. Yeah, so I think I gave it a shot. You gave it a shot. We had Janine, who was a big Fortnite fan, Janine Hawkins, play it and write about it for us.
I didn't realize that.
She was a big fan of Fortnite, of what is now called
Fortnite
Survive the Storm.
Yes.
And is now one of those players who was like, oh, they don't give a fuck about us. Like, they really only care about the Battle Royale player base. So, like, that was the thing. It's like, well, I come to this game for this other thing. I was also at the time like, I want to play Fortnite. I don't want to play Battle Royale. I already have Battlegrounds for that. And I wasn't at the time seeing anything that would make me like it more. Like, I didn't see what the differentiation would be other than like, oh, I guess I could build like a shield. I could build like a wall in front of me if someone's shooting me, but that seems cheap. Pass. that's not what anybody
that
else
seems
said.
Cheap.
Pass. Yeah. Everybody else said, this is dope. I'm going to just play this forever. And now it has surpassed Battlegrounds easily as kind of the most successful game in the genre.
PUBG was a phenomenon in hardcore video game players. Fortnite is a phenomenon in society and culture. And like those are right. two like different things. Those are two things that scale differently. Right. And like a big sort of moment for this was it was like, yeah, it was one battle royale, and then two, it was the release of a major update for the console versions, which brought them up to 60 frames a second. And those were big moments for the game where you really just started to see it sail. And then it's just like, you know, it's like any other cultural moment. Like when you see basketball players talking about, when you see it like showing up on like every like Barstool Sports, like Instagram story, like it just sort of takes off in a way that like it becomes self-fulfilling to a certain extent.
Right. Yeah, totally. And at this point, that audience has grown, and like you said, it's not just the hardcore, it is everybody. It is lots of people across culture, as Danica has said, it is also now clearly inside of hip-hop culture, like, which I'm not surprised by. Hip-hop culture loves video games. It's fair, I was on a Drake podcast, I was on a Noisy's October's very own 31 Days of Drake podcast, and I did say that I thought that Drake probably only played video games as, like, he, like, had an Xbox One X, but I don't know that he's touched it, and I think I have to eat crow here. It's clear it's clear that he's played his Xbox, because now I've seen him playing his Xbox. As Fortnite blew up, the part of the reason it blew up is the same reason that Battlegrounds blew up, which is streamers blew it up, and streamers stream the game. It's a great game to watch. It's tense. It's exciting. There's lots of room for player expressivity, because while I'm there being like, I guess I could build a wall, really good players end the matches by like building huge fort tower things and doing like weird, like the entire end game in Fortnite is a lot like the end game of Battle Royale, or a lot like the end game of Battlegrounds, except instead of just being like in the circle, you're building a huge tower upwards to try to like get height advantage on your opponent and shoot them with a shotgun. It's very strange. It's like super weird to watch. It's really cool. It clearly takes a lot of skill, and that made it blow up. And one of those streamers was someone named Ninja, who is just
a ninja.
Okay, I don't know that that's true.
All right, I need to know this kind of shit. Okay, if you're gonna call yourself ninja, tell me about your ninja skills. Okay,
no, his ninja skills was that he played a lot of Halo. And streaming okay.
Ninja
Halo
skills
for
are
a long
he's
time.
From outside of Chicago. I think he's probably in your neighborhood, Patrick, if I had to guess.
What?
Yeah, he's in Illinois. Because there was a point during the stream where Drake was like, where are you
research.
At? And he was like, oh, he's like, oh, you're in Chicago, right? And he's like, well, I'm like near Chicago. I was like, oh, okay. It's like that. Okay.
I know that feel of saying yep. You live in Chicago.
No, you
live in the Northwest suburbs.
Uh-huh. And so Ninja blows up. And, you know, it turns out that one of the places that people post clips of their gaming, not just on Twitch, not just on YouTube, but also on Instagram, where, of course, Champagne Poppy himself, Drake, is king. He was elected king. I know you think that kings don't have elections, but he did. He's a Democrat. He believes in the Republic. And despite being from Canada, I don't fucking know what Drake's politics are. Who the fuck knows? Drake was a fan, and this was like this came out during the stream, and so Ninja started like saying on his various channels like, oh, I'm gonna play Fortnite with Drake, and had been like hyping it for a little while, but no one was sure if that was true or not, because like you can't just say you're gonna play Fortnite with Drake. And while Ninja was clearly a very successful streamer in the Fortnite space, like he wasn't necessarily the he didn't have the crossover success of even someone like, he didn't have like, he wasn't a PewDiePie, he wasn't a Dr. Disrespect. And like, thank God for that. I mean, my understanding is Ninja has said some problematic shit in the past, not to the extent that the PewDiePies and the Dr. Disrespects have necessarily. But he didn't have that success. He didn't have that degree.
He was taking off pretty well around the time that like Dr. Right. Disrespect and others were realizing, oh shit, we should be playing Fortnite. Because part of the reason that Ninja became a success was because he didn't play Battlegrounds, or if he did, it didn't become like his main.
And then he dropped. Yeah. He's played with Dr. Disrespect and stuff. Like he played with that crew, but then focused on Fortnite and is very good at Fortnite, which is like a different skill set. And then when Fortnite took off, the
critical to success is like PewDiePie is a combination, like a small amount of talent and then right place, right time, like right situation. And like this is similar to Ninja in the sense that like he was streaming Fortnite when basically like Fortnite wasn't being streamed. Like everyone was head faking or everyone was playing PUBG and he was head faking to Fortnite. And so suddenly when Fortnite took off and people wanted to look for Fortnite streams, he became in some ways like the default, like, oh, like here's this guy streaming to a couple thousand people. And then that number just snowballed because he was the game in town.
Right. He's very, very good at the game.
I guess
a lot of streamers are, but I guess my point was he was Fortnite streamer big, which didn't feel before Thursday night like Drake big. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Sure.
And then what came out was like, oh no, Drake followed him on IG. Like Drake liked watching his videos. He went to and watched his YouTube videos. Drake said, like, I thought you were really good at the game and I thought we should just play. And like that felt like this very strange moment. Because then it happened. And I don't know, like Danica, you were watching from just about the beginning of that thing too. I think like our whole chat was like, mm-hmm. Is this really happening?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to walk us through like that night? Like if I've done the lead up, I'm passing you the ball. Talk to me about the night that Drake played Fortnite and we were up until 4 a.m. watching it.
I think that I was a little bit hesitant to tune in right away because it was one of those things where every single person on Twitter was talking about it and I was just like not wanting to tune in and feed into the hype. I was like, oh, whatever. He's playing a video game. Who cares? And then when I tuned in, it was just amazing because even though these are real people, we know that they, most of them probably just play video games and like watch anime and whatever else, and it shouldn't be this thing. It still is this thing. And so hearing like Travis Scott get on stream and go in for a kill and say, bitch, eat my dick, let's get it. And then kill someone and throw out a wad of cash and say, cash. That was so surreal.
Well, I think that was definitely the thing that you're getting at is there was a degree of intimacy here that you don't normally get with celebrities, right? Like we know, like you said, we know that celebrities are people. We know that like anybody with an audience is people because we have a much, much, much smaller audience than Champagne Poppy. But like sometimes people think that you're living a life that you're not. You're like, yo, I'm just out here trying to pay my bills. And there was a moment early on in the stream. I don't know if you know any of y'all were watching at that point, but Ninja goes like,
I was
asleep. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
glad
the thing.
One of us was. At one point, Ninja goes like, oh, what are you eating? Because like Drake's like, oh, I'm going to go eat something real quick. I'll be right back. He's like, oh, what are you eating? And Drake goes like, oh, well, normally I eat very healthy, but today it's a cheat day. So it was like I was in the studio all day, so I ordered pizza. And this notion of like Drake talking about his cheat day and like, I normally try to eat healthy, but I'm going to eat pizza today is so like – it's so dressed down from Drake specifically, who is like very in charge of his image and his appearances. Do you know what I mean? Like celebrities tend, I think this is one of those things that's so different about this new era of celebrity, of new media celebrity, is access and is the degree to which Patrick, you wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, right? Or a month ago now, is like, how much of your personal life is the product? Mm-hmm. And normally we don't see celebrities at the level that Drake are. And I guess if you don't know about Drake, like Drake is a very successful rapper, like very successful. I had someone like, is Drake really that big? Like, yeah, he had like the number 2 song on the Billboard Top 100 list last year. Mm-hmm. He's consistently put out
and
very
was,
successful
and
rappers.
Was famous before that. He was a Canadian actor. He was on Degrassi. He played Jimmy.
He's an outsider that does not listen. I mean, I've listened to hear Drake songs, right? Like, but I've, you know, I don't really.
You couldn't
like,
name an album, probably.
No, but like, right. I, what I pick up from outside people, like, he's also like, he's like seen as someone who's like very tender and like emotional. And
he's like an emo hip hop artist, basically.
Yeah. 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 Like people like that sings. About him, where he's like, he bucks the trend of like the machismo and
He still has it, but he, yes, you're right. You're 100%
right. He seems earnest
right.
in a way that's like different than like a lot of other like hip hop artists.
Sometimes, like, he'll still brag about fucking lots of women, but he's sad because, like, he knows he should probably be a better dude than he is, you know?
And he likes like, cheesecake, you know? Like, it's,
he does like
yeah,
this
he
true.
Loves that's, cheesecake.
He likes to go to cheesecake.
I will say that during the stream, I did notice, and this was something that reminded me of when Chief Keef was on the Waypoint 72 stream, there was a period of time where Ninja was kind of just like asking questions that he probably wouldn't ask other people he streams with, and right. Travis was kind of like, dude, like chill,
yeah.
And I remember a period on our stream when you like asked Chief Keef what about movies or something, and Chief Keef was kind of just like, I'm playing
a game right now. One of the weirdest things about that stream was like, oh, Drake doesn't know how to stream. Like, Drake can play this game, and Drake got some kills. Drake did all right. But, like, Drake wanted to play this game with someone he thought was good at playing the game, not entertain people on a stream, right?
Yeah.
And so
he doesn't give a shit about the chat.
Totally. Well, he cared a little bit, right? Because here's how I know. Because at one point, and this is why this stream was so good, was because it was not just Drake plays this game for 4 hours with this dude that you've never heard of named Ninja. Or maybe you've heard of him because you care about Fortnite because you're actually tuned into gaming, unlike me. There's a point at which they've been trying to get squads going for hours and hours, right? Or like for an hour or something. It's just like, oh, I can't get people added. It's like lots of real life shit for me of just like, oh, I can't add you because my friends list is full or I have too many invites. Mm-hmm. And it's like Drake struggling with adding Discord to his phone.
Oh my God.
It's like there's a bit where Ninja's like trying to talk him through getting off of Skype and onto Discord or something. And it's just, it's so good. But
my favorite... The part about my favorite parts of that stream were when Drake, when people kept getting added and Drake would just be like, oh, that's my boy. And then Ninja would be like, oh yeah, it's Drake's boy.
That's Drake's boy. There was definitely a bit where Ninja forgot who Travis Scott was and just started calling him Jack because
he was calling him by his username.
His username was like Cactus Jack or whatever. And,
so
and
good.
He was like, oh, Jack, come over here. And yeah, he's either Travis or Drake's like, who's Jack? Very funny. But then the most surreal thing was while trying to get Travis Scott and also Juju from the Pittsburgh Steelers to join, Kim.com started playing with them at some point.
Yeah, I didn't. That's why I didn't watch. That's why I didn't watch. I was like, I'm gonna wait for this to end.
He was so bad.
Of course he was so bad.
Who invited him?
Ninja did.
Oh, bad.
Yeah, dude, yeah. Do you want to explain who Kim.com is, Patrick?
Who is Kim.com? Or
do you know Danielle?
I have no idea who Kim.com is.
Mega Upload? Or,
yes.
Right? Like,
all of the mega services.
It was a really, like, if you didn't want to do torrents, and like, if you didn't want to look into how to hide your IP through a proxy, and you wanted to... like pirate movies and music and pornography and whatever, like Mega Upload was a search engine that would let you go through like all the, like let you easily download files. You usually had to download it in parts, like video file -1 and like whatever. Like, don't ask me how I know that. And eventually he lived in New Zealand and like lives in New Zealand. Right. And then the FBI wanted to like extradite him and take him down. There's a whole blah, blah. In addition to that, he's also, like, he's just fucking bad. Like, he's a bad dude. Like, whatever you, like, think about, like, how he wanted to, like, deal with copyright and blah, blah, blah. Like, he has said a lot of, like, real scummy shit.
Yeah, a lot of wild shit comes out of his mouth. And I was not excited for that.
One such wild thing was, I can't believe I'm on a stream saying, do you want this big slurp, Drake? And it was just like, oh, dog, you have to stop. You have to shut up. And you
get him off. Get him out of here.
Just go like, just like suck through his teeth. And like, I can't believe, like, I put myself out here for you, Ninja. Why'd you invite Kim.com? it was just a very strange.
What
and
a brazen thing. Like, in some ways, what's amazing about that is that he did it at all. Chose to bring, like, in this moment. Like, in which I'm sure, like, you know, Ninja's been doing this for a while. Like, he's used to, like, oh no, my stream's like, you know, your stream like blows up or does better that day, and it's like, oh, like keep your cool about it. Like I'm like the most that's ever happened to me was when I did some of those Mario Maker streams, and like suddenly I'd have like 8,000 people watching. I'd be like, oh, I don't like this at all. But like you're like, you know, a pseudo professional, like you know how to handle that. And but right. It's just like that was like a weird. In some ways, it's like he wasn't being buttoned up enough to not invite him. And then in other ways, like, wasn't thinking about it enough that, like, yo, you shouldn't, like, what a weird thing.
It was so strange.
Also, why does he know Kim.com?
Because he's, like, on the internet, and Kim.com mm-hmm. is the sort of dude who just, like, oh,
he probably loves
talent.
He probably loves Kim.com.
It's probably the other way, and my suspicion is, like, Ninja's too naive to not know that someone like Kim.com is just trying to take advantage of
he's
someone
like, oh,
else's
you have a lot of followers,
and
like, you do stuff in tech.
Yeah, or who knows? Maybe you're right, Danica. Maybe Ninja is like Kim.com's biggest fan and is just like, oh, I love his jokes. He's funny. Like, I'm not engaging on any deeper level than that.
Probably also was just like, realistically, a month ago, he was getting numbers on his streams, but he wasn't blowing up until super, super recently. And so it's probably a level of anxiety mixed with just the pressure of this stream and getting famous, like keeping the numbers up and getting the numbers up, you know? And so Kim.com was probably super easy to get on.
Yes, that's and has enough of a following that like, oh yeah, that can bring more people in.
Yeah. I remember we were waiting. We were like, this isn't real until Drake tweets it. Even though Drake was on the fucking stream. We're like,
this is a Drake
real.
Impersonator? Who could say? Yeah. So this is the part of the thing for me ended up being like, why do we care about this? Like, why? So I sat down to write this take on Friday morning last week. And I was like, okay, do I have thoughts here? Yes, I have tons of thoughts here. Do I have thoughts here that I know are bulletproof from any sort of like, is this just traditional celebrity culture but turned to 11 or something like that? Like, not really. Do I feel like there's something special happening here, or is this just another one of those things where it's like, oh, I want games to feel legitimate, and having Drake play a video game on Twitch makes it feel like games are legitimized. Mm. And I felt like a little bit too much like that, but at the same time, I think it's partially interesting because of the Fortnite angle and seeing the ways in which Fortnite has completely broken through to an even broader audience than I am at. Like, to the point where people who I don't think of as watching video game videos are watching Fortnite videos. Does that make sense? Like, Danielle, you had a thought. What was the...
Yeah, no, I'm just sort of agreeing with that because with everything, honestly, that's sort of celebrity-related now or sort of internet celebrity-related now, I have that thought of, like, is this actually new? Is this anything actually new from the way everything has always been? Or is this just, sort of the modern twist, the millennial twist, if you will? Right. And I don't have anything great to add. It just resonates with me. I'm always constantly like, if I did whatever job this would have been for my parents, would I have been weirded out by this?
I think that for me, the reason that I give a shit about this stream specifically is because I'm a huge Drake fan, and you just don't get to see videos of him having person-to-person interaction for a lengthy amount of time that aren't interview videos. This is a video, you know, there's no keeping up with the Kardashians for Drake. There, like, he doesn't trust like that. He doesn't fuck around like that. And so having a chance to see him just be in his own like comfortable space doing this thing that he thinks is fun, that was really exciting for me, because the only stuff I really ever see of him is interview stuff. He posts some videos on Instagram sometimes of him just like being out and partying, but that's not 4 hours.
No, and that's not like the person saying that they're eating pizza, right? Also for the record, pro pineapple on pizza, Drake. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
But like, you're right. That to me does feel different. Or like, it's funny because I was thinking recently about the old Kanye West blog. Kanye used to run a blog that felt that way. That felt like, oh, this is Kanye. This is just Kanye West. Like, this is not a bit. This is not like him posing. There's no posture here. This is just this dude. And now that's just gone. Do you know what? Like, even when he appears on something like Keeping Up with the Kardashians, he's very clearly like, all right, the cameras are on. I have to be this specific Kanye West now.
Kanye's deleted a lot of his
yes.
tweets that like really felt personal, like his like Spirited Away Akira tweet is gone.
Yep.
His tweet that says, here I have it, I hate when I'm on a flight and I wake up with a water bottle next to me, like, oh great, now I gotta be responsible for this water bottle. Like he has refocused so much on his front facing image because of everything that he was going through with Life of Pablo. Yeah. That we don't see this side of him anymore. And we never really see this side of Drake at all to begin with.
I think that's one of the things that's been interesting is seeing the generation that's come after Kanye, after Drake, of rappers and people in pop culture in general, and in the music industry in general, who are maybe a little more willing to show this side. Right? Grimes does Dark Souls streams.
Yes. And Lil Uzi Vert nonstop talking about anime, posting shit on his Snapchat all the time. Like, he has anime tattoos.
These are social, it's like the Pop-Tarts. Social media generation, right? Like, these are people who grew up with social media now, who didn't just like have it in their adulthood, who didn't have it in their young adulthood, but who like literally grew up on it and separating from it is just not a possible thing, right? Like, I think about Brockhampton a lot, is a really great rap group, who like met on the Kanye to the.com forums, and like, oh, they will always be online. Like, they are just online people now. Right. Patrick, you had a thought there.
You talking about that just put in my head the that moment with Michael B. Jordan a week or two back where on Tumblr, a dentist posted about how a girl came in and like broke her braces because she like bit down so hard when Michael B. Jordan went shirtless in Black Panther. And then that just like blew up on Tumblr. And then the girl ended up finding it and tweeting about it on Twitter. And then it blew up on Twitter. Then Michael B. Jordan, who's very active on Twitter, especially he's been very attentive post of Black Panther and like, you know, all the stuff about him liking anime and blah blah blah, he's very in that world, then like tweeting at that girl and saying he would pay for the replacement of like the braces, just so like good.
it's so good. Yeah. So like it's an interesting moment for celebrity culture, I think. And I think it's actually, this is going to be one of those things that I think I'm curious to see how it develops, because one of the edges that I think YouTube culture has over traditional celebrity culture is intimacy and there's another word I'm looking for here, but the degree to which you can interact with somebody daily, right? Someone like Logan Paul or Jake Paul, like those dudes ain't that talented. They don't have Hollywood charisma. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, one might even say that both of them actually suck.
You might say that they suck.
You might say it.
Also, well,
they're not like deities in the way that like traditional Hollywood celebrity like is constructed, and like they're these like godlike figures on a pantheon. It's like in a lot of ways, like, you know, like those moments where you guys are talking about like Drake, like just talking like a normal person is like, oh right, like he's just like a super fucking talented guy, and he also plays Fortnite, and like we'll just talk about ordering pizza on his cheat day, and like you're not gonna get that from. Like I guess in some ways Drake is a little bit traditional celebrity, like
that's
little,
what I'm
like,
saying.
Mixture between the two.
That's the thing that feels different about this moment, or that feels like what I'm curious about is the people who are going to walk the line between the two as a full time thing, right? So like this is what I'm saying is like, is this bad news for the future Logan and Jake Pauls? I almost said Drake Paul, fucking sign of the cross. I'm so sorry. God, the like I'm saying that like the Logans and Jake Pauls, what they have in their favor is that like constant stream of content, that intimacy, that like, oh yeah, here's my YouTuber house, or like I don't even keep the door locked, ha ha ha. And is there a world in which we end up seeing more mainstream musical acts, more Hollywood stars, more traditional celebrities who walk that line? And maybe they're not doing daily vlogging or something, but they're putting out 3 or 4 vlogs a week, but also are starring in, you know, big budget Hollywood summer blockbusters. You know, that's my curiosity going forward. Like, how long until a Marvel movie star is streaming Fortnite every few days? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, this is a slightly different world, but it's related. UFC fighters have gotten super, super into streaming, especially, like, really, like, obviously, we know Angela Hill, because we did a little episode of Waypoint Presents with her. But Demetrius Johnson, who has, you know, probably many, I think a couple hundred thousand sort of fans, and he's like the number one ranked pound for pound fighter ever. Basically, he
right.
streams constantly, and that's actually how he's gotten, to be honest, like some better promotion for his fights, because now he's showing. Honestly, like
that's
UFC
so wild. Yeah.
is a weird thing in itself, because sort of he's a smaller dude. He fights at 125 pounds, and like the big dudes kind of always get promotion because, you know, like in the most meathead sense, I think a lot of people always want to watch the big dudes sort of clash. There's like a terrifying sure. power to it, but like the small dudes, who, you know, I think are more interesting to watch anyway, they don't always get the same billing, to be honest. And I think he's like increased his sort of capital with UFC by being a big streamer who has lots of followers. Yeah.
Right. I built this audience already. I have this audience yeah. already. Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
There's a version of this that's like super dystopian, right? Like
yep.
where you don't get to be the Hollywood star who can kind of live the quiet life behind the scenes. You know what I mean? I don't want the next Greta Gerwig to also have to be vlogging every day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I would like that to not have to be the case. I don't want the next Jordan Peele to be like, oh, well, today's my cheat day. Like, I don't need to know that. Just make cool movies, please.
Right.
You know? Right. But what I can imagine is a celebrity culture and a culture industry where, because there is that added value of bringing in your own audience, the people who end up getting those deals are the ones who can bring in their own audience, you know, and produce good work or whatever. Anyway, welcome to the age of the flexible worker. We're always on camera. We're always working on our brands. Anything else here, or can we take a quick break?
Good.
Any other final thoughts on Drake and Fortnite and Ninja and streaming culture?
All I want to do is ask where you think Cardi B fits in all of this.
Cardi B's the best.
I love her. I don't think she games, but I think that she Offset probably plays video games, and she probably fully supports him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think
she probably borrows the controller sometimes. Is like, let me get in on this. Like, let me fuck some shit up.
Because I would watch that in a heartbeat. I would watch Cardi B play anything. Just love it forever. Like,
I mean, it's actually. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, as my final thought on this is that I really think that the most important thing is that these people are just people, and
yep.
and a lot of people look at like Kim Kardashian tweeting about anime or whatever else as having their spaces encroached upon, which is in my opinion kind of ridiculous. I feel like it's just, you know, I have gotten 20,000 followers since starting at Waypoint. It's a lot. And so I still tweet about shit in the same way as when I had 80 followers on Twitter, you know? And it's probably the same with these people, these famous people with millions of followers, is they just want to like tweet about the shit that they're interested in and talk about the stuff that they like. And Chance wants to let people know that he likes Fortnite.
Right.
And like, not for any other reason than to just be excited about it, in the same way that I've been tweeting about like how Sea of Thieves looks or whatever else.
Right, right. It's so weird. It's such a strange thing. I don't know.
But it's exciting because we love these people.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. That is part of why it's super exciting. I think the coda here though is in the weeks since this happened, both Battlegrounds and Fortnite's mobile releases dropped. You can now play, or I guess the Fortnite one you have to sign into a beta for. But like, that is going to open up the player base for both of those games even further by a huge amount, which is how Cardi B is going to become our next champion, because like,
yes.
she's got time. She's on her way between events and shit.
She loves her phone. She loves her phone.
She loves her phone. Like, she can just turn that phone sideways and build a tower. She'd be the mobile Fortnite champion.
Yes.
I played mobile PUBG a couple times. I got number two last night.
I heard it's good. I heard it's good.
It's weird. It's weird. There's a really interesting story over on Kotaku people should go read from Heather Alexander. I think it was from Heather.
It is. It's from Heather. Yep.
On the bots in that game. There are bots in PUBG on purpose from the developer. Or at least this is what Heather is contending, and maybe what they've admitted to a different outlet. That when you first start playing, they fill the game with bots so that you don't feel as nervous because they're bad and it's easier to kill them. And as you play like 10 matches, 12 matches, it slowly filters the bots out and fills you in games with more
and
more
that's
people.
Really smart if that's true.
Yeah, it's really smart if
Heather,
it's true.
Heather got a chicken dinner, I think. I think she's actually got more than one.
I saw so many people being like, man, like, I'm just really good at PUBG. Like, she's not the only one that I saw doing. They're like, shitload of people were like, get on PUBG Mobile. People suck on here.
Right.
Like, if that's the explanation, it is extremely
funny.
Damn,
that's the PUBG for me, then. I gotta go.
I got a number two last night. I missed the shot with the AWM I got from the crate. I had three kills, but I didn't finish it off. But close. It's weird. And, like, and yes, there are, like, so many people have phones. So many more people have phones than have gaming PCs or game consoles. So many more. Like, unbelievably, the numbers are not even comparable. And so opening those games up for those wider audiences is really wild, and I'm very curious to see how both of those continue to grow.
Yeah.
Put the mobile version of Battlegrounds just on Switch, please. Thank you.
The biggest thing here is just accessibility, I think, and it's the same way with more and more and more people getting on social media and people being excited about seeing, you know, one of their favorite musicians or whoever else getting on Twitter or playing a video game. It's just things are getting more accessible. So, I mean, Soulja Boy has been tweeting about video games for 10 years. So
Soulja Boy is the first version of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Soulja Boy told us about that potion that Mario drank. Mm-hmm. So let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about another different multiplayer game that we've all been playing. Very colorful, just like Fortnite. So we will be right back.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
All right, sorry. All right.
All right,
mateys. That's a pirate voice.
I can look at some pirate jokes.
Could you give me some pirate jokes?
Not again, please.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I got it. All right.
Wait, what's the website you're using? Credit the website you're using.
Jokesforus.com.
Okay, thanks.
Not for you, motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here. This joke isn't for you. Are you a pirate? No, get out.
To the tune of Carly Rae Jepsen's Call Me Maybe.
No.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. I'm a pirate, so call me maybe.
Hold on.
Call me maybe.
You could put any word there. You could say I'm a gamer, so call me maybe.
Call me maybe.
You could say
beautiful.
I'm Danica, so call me maybe. Like, that doesn't work. That... Do you have anything better? Do you have anything else?
It gets better than that. No, come
what
on.
Is like, what does a pirate Santa say? Row, row, row.
What?
Pirates don't row their ships.
Oh, it's instead of ho, ho, ho.
But they don't row their boats. They have big boats with sails. That's the whole thing.
Give us one more, Patrick. Third try's a charm, right?
Okay.
Is it?
What is a pirate's favorite Star Wars character?
I don't know.
Wait, hold on. R2-D2.
I hate this. This is awful.
And
this is crazy.
Okay, jokes for us is just jokes for unfunny people.
Yeah, that's who us is.
Yep.
God. This week's episode is sponsored by jokesforus.com.
Hashtag not an ad.
And we'll be right back. All right. So the Sea of Thieves is out. Sea of Thieves, new game from Rare. Rare, the creators of such hits as James Bond, GoldenEye 007 for the N64, Banjo-Kazooie, Danielle Riendo's entire childhood.
Yep. Goddamn right.
And adulthood.
Now,
she's still
changed?
Playing them.
Yeah.
That's true. I put a lot of time in the Sea of Thieves beta, a little bit in the alpha, and then like a little bit since it's come out. I think Danica and Patrick have probably put the most here.
Danica's way out there.
I've got a lot of hours in.
Two days ago or yesterday, like whenever we played, when you and I played on Monday, it was like, okay, well, how's this game work? And I tuned into y'all, your stream today, and it was just like Danica hot strats, just like knew everything completely back to back.
I was using the captain.
Boat terminology like a boss.
Yeah,
unless she's Rob Zachney out here.
Exactly. Yeah.
I learned a lot from Rob, like speaking in nautical terms on the day that we streamed, and then I've been playing with my friend Nick. Nick is Nixed on Twitter.
Shout out to Nick.
Yeah, friend of some of us here on the show. He also is just like an incredible captain and knows all the terms, and it's very important to him that like you stick with the like pirate canon. So
Now I know everything.
Sea of Thieves, made by Rare, was announced a couple of years ago. Just finally came out after a long dev cycle. It is their first game since. Was their last game Nuts and Bolts?
No.
Banjo-Kazooie. I can't believe it's their first game since Banjo-Kazooie.
They made a bunch of Kinect games that I had to review in my days at Polygon.
First game since Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
I don't know what the Kinect is.
Basically, the Kinect's version of Wii Sports Resort, but it was like Kinect games something.
Those don't count. We're erasing those from the canon.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Those are pirate canon. So.
Right, they're racing us, right? And then you're loading yourself in and shooting yourself onto an island nearby.
That's right.
It is a multiplayer game in which you and up to three of your friends join on a big pirate ship, and you... I'm trying not to oversell this game, I guess. I don't know. I think this game's cool, but there's issues. You go on kind of voyages for one of three different factions in the game. You do things like fight skeletons. You fight, you kind of solve puzzles, riddles here and there to kind of find hidden treasure. You do really, really annoying fetch quests for the merchant guild that sucks so bad. And most importantly, you have to work together to crew the ship. And I think that's like the heart of this game, is that one person can't really crew, especially the big ship, the Galleon, by themselves. You really need a lot of teamwork. You need someone working at the wheel, someone who's looking at the map, someone who is making sure that the ship isn't flooding, someone who is, you know, working the sails, and someone who's like on lookout. And when it works like that, it all comes together into something that is, I think, pretty special on the moment-to-moment stuff. And it's just gorgeous. It's just like one of the prettiest games I've seen in a long time.
Right. I'll tell a quick story that I told on this stream this morning, but yesterday I played for about 6 hours last night.
Yo.
And I played with one crew for four or so, and then another crew for two, and with my first crew.
Four players and two players, yes. Basically? Okay.
No, I played with four players both times, so one for 4 hours.
I gotcha.
And so with my first crew, we ended up getting a message in a bottle, which is something that you can just, if you see like a glimmer on an island and you go pick it up, it's a message in a bottle, and it can be anything from like a simple quest of delivering gunpowder to a full-on scavenger hunt. And we got this really, really difficult scavenger hunt. It took us like 45 minutes to finish it. And at the end, we got a captain's chest.
What were the steps of the scavenger hunt?
So the scavenger hunt was to go to an island, this huge island, and find different paintings, and then take a number of paces, find another painting, take a number of paces, do this thing. There was like five steps. It ended up, we got a captain's chest, and our ship was parked between two islands, and another galleon starts coming up.
Oh, shit.
All four of us are on the ship, and we start going in, we start battling this other galleon, and two of us die.
And the galleons are, this other galleon, for people who don't know, is staffed by other, crewed by other players. There are no AI ships, right? So this is like other players were bearing down at you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are two ships. There's a big four-person ship, and there's a small, faster two-person ship.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, so this other ship was just barreling into us. They sunk our ship. Three of us died. One of us lived and was able to, because when your ship goes under, any treasure that you have, any chests, will float to the top of the water. Our one surviving crew member got the chest, went onto the island, hid under a little alcove where so no one could see him, and skeletons were spawning on top of him, but couldn't get to him. And so all of us had to, the three of us who died, came back, got our ship, had
to wait. From like a different island, right? Like you had to respawn somewhere else or like out in the water or whatever.
And then we had to wait for that other galleon to like think that everybody was gone and there was no loot and leave. And then we just went back and got him.
Wow.
That's so good. That's so good.
It was so good. Well, like, it was
those
so
moments
good.
I think are so strong. Like, I watched y'all today. You fought a Kraken today in a moment that was very, very good.
Oh, it's just so like, scary.
Well, the thing that was so great about that story, I guess like I should let one of you do it because you were the ones fucking playing the game. But like
Patrick, it started
with Patrick. You saw a ship on the horizon, actually, right?
Yeah, we saw this ship on the horizon, and I wanted to be aggressive. Like, it's a pirate game. Like, I'm out here to take your ship.
Is it a pirate game?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. That's a separate story. But that was my thought. Was like I'm out here, like, yo, like, I'm glad that you're going to find that chest, but it'd be great if you found it, died, and then I took it from you. And so
we had a crew of pirate.
Yeah, we had a crew of four, and we saw a sloop, which is often one person. Like, I think you could probably make an estimation that if someone's in a sloop, that's probably one person and not two. That's just me like guessing. By my estimation, that's mostly people like kind of soloing and kind of just screwing around, which, by the way, not the way to play this game. And we can get into that later too. But yeah, like, I had kind of rallied the troops. I'm playing music. I'm like, let's go get him. Yo ho ho. Like, we're going to take this guy out. And as we, like, we're in that direction, and, you know, Rob's moving us over there, and all of a sudden the water just turns black. Like, it goes from a nice, beautiful, like, crystal clear blue to just, like, murky.
And we were right by an outpost, and I just want to get on record that I told Patrick that we would get karma for going after this ship.
Right.
That's true.
And so this...
Which is a karma mechanic, to be clear.
Yeah, there's no actual karma mechanic. Yeah. But, like, so there was a sloop, and then there was also, like, a galleon, like, sort of not too far from us. But we were going to go after the sloop. And, yeah, the water turns black, this kraken appears, and this... We fight off this kraken, like, the way it works, like, these tentacles appear, and... you can either get the Kraken to disappear, or you can escape. And there's apparently, at the moment, no reward for defeating it, which is bad, and they should add in things like that. You basically are firing cannons at the tentacles. You can get picked up by one of the tentacles, and it makes just this grotesque sound
as
you are slowly eaten.
It's disgusting.
The Kraken, like a Lovecraftian mouth that is slowly devouring you. There's a moment in the stream, if you go look up the archive on Twitch or YouTube, where I do get consumed and then tossed into the sea. And we escaped from that. And then, so this is where it ties into the second story, is that once we escaped the Kraken, we had some stuff to deliver. And so we pulled up to this outpost.
Our boat was destroyed by the Kraken.
Oh, that's right. It was. Okay. Yeah,
Boat was destroyed, yes.
Our boat was destroyed by
We took on too much water.
You were so close to the land, though, right?
Yes.
It was only on, like, the final push towards land when you finally started sinking. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, the way, like, death works in the game, if people haven't played, is that, like, death has no actual consequence, but there is a time delay. So it's like you die, you load into a ghost ship, and then there's, like, I don't know, a minute or so, maybe a little less, before a door opens and you can spawn back into the world. So, like, the way that, like, the dynamic works is the reason you want to kill people off is, like, then that grants you a certain amount of time to, like, take chests off their boat or kind of fuck up their the ship that they're on. We sort of, like, ran aground, our ship falls, we grab the stuff that we can get, because we're actually delivering these gunpowder barrels that you can turn in for money. And after we do that, we had noticed there was a sloop, like, going around the island, and I was like, oh man, like,
it was the same sloop that you wanted to go for.
One?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We thought they were shoving off, and they weren't.
Yeah, they were moving. Like, they were hoofing it. And then right as, like, we turn a corner, like, it slows down. I don't know if it was the wind. I don't know what happened, but I was with Natalie, and I'm like, Natalie, let's go. Like, we are taking that goddamn ship. And so we start swimming out, and I think someone else cashes in their last barrel, and then Natalie didn't quite make it to the ship. Rob and I did, and then Danica, you and Natalie were fighting.
We got killed. We got killed by Candy.
Candy, the user, because you only see their usernames once you get close enough to, like, kind of identify them. Otherwise, the game obscures the gamer tags. And so Rob... Candy kills Natalie and Danica. Rob and I are on the ship. We managed to take him down. And I look at Rob and I'm like, whew, bring up the anchor. We are getting the fuck out of here. And I was like, we are taking this guy's ship. And it like felt so good. We looked down, we were trying to see if any treasure. He didn't. I was like, no, what our treasure is, this second boat. We got ourselves a fleet, and we are going to go join up with Danica and Natalie when they spawn on this other boat. And we're just going to go out, and we're going to wreck things. Like, this is going to be great. And then someone in the chat pointed out, like, oh, well, you should keep an eye out because, don't remember, you spawn back on your ship. And I was like, all right, well, I'll just kill him again until he decides to get out of here and, like, not come back to his ship because it's ours now. Thanks. Yeah. And we get maybe... we're at the point where actually we're coordinating for the four of us to all meet up again. Then all of a sudden we just hear boom, 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 boom.
It was scary to watch because I didn't even know that's how it looked or what happened. Yeah,
it sounded like cannon fire. And I ran down to the bottom of the ship, and there were not just like one or two holes, but like holes lined up all along. Like it's made so that there's no way for you to reasonably patch it up. Even if you had four people working furiously, like the ship is over.
Right.
And that's apparently something players can trigger. If like your boat is stolen, you can then like
go to the pause menu or whatever, right?
Yeah, and you can just say, "Hey, blow up that boat
so I can scuttle my ship." Right.
Yeah, and it was this interesting moment where I found myself frustrated because I thought that I was engaging in the fantasy that this game presents, which is like, oh, there are other players in the world. There is both PvP and PvE, and we had this like very dynamic encounter where like just because you're going off to a port to drop off your goods, that doesn't mean that you're safe. Like there are no like quote unquote like completely safe spots in this game. We went in there and we like he took out two of our people, and then two of us took out him, and like we took the boat fair and square, and then the game just goes, ah, well, actually, like you can't do that. And so
He did pop up when Natalie and I were on the ghost ship. He popped up, and Natalie and him and myself all danced together. So I was like, "All right, we're homies now."
Well, and so it creates this like kind of weird scenario, like this sort of like this weird design ethical thing that like sprung up from this particular moment, which is like, yes, like, does it suck that he can't get back to his ship? Like 100%. And you could
or
argue
the thing
that
is,
what we
he can. This is the thing. He can get back to his ship, but right. You're just going to be on it forever.
Right. And they call it, you know, this is like called, you know, like grief spawning, which is basically like you're hanging around the spot where a player is going to come back, and because we outnumber him, we are going to just sit there and like foop, 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 kill him. Like that was my plan. My plan was like, hey, this is my ship. You can come back. We'll kill you, and then we'll just keep taking your ship. Because I wasn't sure exactly how the mechanics were. I thought maybe he could quit, and then it was just like, our ship. Like, they're not the ship's not going to, like...
Right, it would spawn in a different ship
out of the
or
world.
Something.
Like, they were like, I don't know. And so, yeah, like, I felt like we were playing into the fun of the game, but the game was suggesting for us, encouraging us to do, but then we were punished, or rather, not rewarded for doing something that was cool and interesting and fun and felt in the spirit of the fantasy of the game. And so... there was a really interesting conversation happening in chat, which was like, well, actually, like, you guys were kind of being dicks because that's, like, a grief spawn, and you spawn back on your ship, and that's how the game solves you being away from your ship. And I was like, well, actually, what the game needs to figure out is, like, a better way to address both sides of the equation. Like, there was one suggestion in the chat that was, hey, like, what if your ship gets taken, you spawn on that ghost ship, and the ghosts are like, yo, you want to go get revenge? And they give you, like, a badass ship, and you can go track them down. Or maybe, like, if you successfully take a ship, they say, hey, look, like, you can't take this ship because it would break the game balance if everyone had their own ship and, like, people working together. But, like, we're going to give you $10,000 and it's going in your, you know, it's going in a garage that you have or something like that. Or, like, there should just be some sort of reward for engaging in the act of piracy in a game that is about pirates and currently...
in a game called Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, and I feel like this speaks to a larger sort of question about the game.
That's
that I'm
the
like
thing
multiple
me.
Minds of. Is like, this open... like, I look at this and go, was this not solved because they just didn't take it all the way? And like, this is reflective of like bad game design, or is it, hey, let's see what players do and then come up with a solution for it. Like, I'm choosing to be on the optimist side, which is that like, I'm going to write a story about this and other people are going to talk about this on like subreddits and streams. And then Rare is going to go, okay, we're going to come up with a creative solution to this that doesn't break the game and makes it more fun. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if that's the way the game is going to go. Like, that's a big unknowable in like the first couple days of its launch.
I imagine that because there's not a ton that you can do in this game.
The quests are bad. Like, let's be clear. Like, the quests suck, and like, they're not fun, interesting, dynamic, and it's all, this game is based upon improv.
I think that we talked about this on the stream, but there, you can get the game for free for 2 weeks with like Xbox Game Pass, or you can pay $10 and have it for a month. And like, right now, I feel like a month is probably enough time to spend with this game, but they will likely add to this game. I don't know that they'll add a ton to it, but it feels like there's a lot of room to add. And if they do, I'm sure that, you know, they would probably consider, you know, patching and fixes for stuff like this.
Yeah, go ahead, Danielle.
I was just going to say, I have one thought on the game, and I only just played it yesterday when we were streaming. You know, my experience is fairly limited, but I do really like the fact that it's a multiplayer game that is just sort of improv and hijinks and sort of having fun.
I love it.
Yeah. I just dig that because a lot of multiplayer games obviously are like competitive, and that's fine. That's cool. And they're also, you know, often about like shooting other people, which I'm really bad at. So I'm having a lot more fun doing things like patching up holes in a boat or like, you know, using the bucket and just sort of doing that sort of goofy shit is more fun for me than most sort of multiplayer games, but I also like totally acknowledge like they probably do need to add some more activities to keep that interesting and keep that fresh.
There's only six ships,
right? Yeah. Right.
Oh yeah.
There's only six ships that spawn in on that map.
So that's the thing. Like, there's a lot of contradictions here. Like the six ship thing, right? Which is like, okay, the map is 26 tiles by 26 tiles. It's fairly sizable. It's limited. This isn't No Man's Sky. It's not generating new islands or anything like that. It's all structured islands. I believe the quests are handcrafted because I've seen the same ones while watching various streamers, but maybe not. Maybe they're just, I mean, they're so simple that they could be procedurally generated and still look like that.
Yeah.
and as Danica says, like, there are six ships out there. So, like, it's you plus five other teams total.
And those could be teams of two also.
Right. So those could be teams of two. And that can make the seas feel pretty empty. I think that there's a good amount of tension between like where it's at now. I could see it going up to 8 or 10 without feeling too dense, because you don't want to just like constantly be getting shot at by people necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I think the more important thing for me is like the Age of Pirates was one in which pirates attacked ships that were official vessels or trading vessels or were part of kind of mainstream society, right? They're part of like a larger world. And what pirates did was they fucked them up and took their shit, and then like went off and built pirate republics with them, or did bury treasure somewhere and stuff like that. This game feels so much more like you are playing people LARPing as pirates just immediately after the Age of Pirates, when all of the real pirates have disappeared and there are no more ships except for pirate ships, except for LARPer ships left. And your whole thing is like, I'm gonna go kill skeletons, I'm gonna go dig up buried treasure, and I'm going to like run chickens between islands, or not even run them. I'm gonna go from island to island hoping to find red chickens and pick those up and then go deliver them somewhere.
What if we had raided that ship and all of a sudden it said, hey, this is like built something, like what if we had a guild, right? Like we're a guild of a group of pirates, we have our own home base,
right?
And like when you capture a ship, like, hey, okay, you don't get to keep the ship, but like, hey, that just funneled a bunch of resources back to like your
wood
home base
and sail material or whatever. Right, totally.
Like that's a solution where I go, all right, I'm rewarded for the act of, but it doesn't change the balance of the game. And so it's like, I look at this game and think a year from now, I hope this is what all this game has, because it seems so ripe for it. And it seems like when every time you talk to people about it, all the solutions seem so obvious that it would be such an unfortunate tragedy if somehow it didn't happen. It seems impossible it can't happen.
The thing is, I don't know that there's not just a more important root tension that's hard to resolve, which is, like Danielle said, this is a game about improv. Like, this is a game where the most fun you have, for me, I've played this game online, offline, or not offline, but I've played it streaming, not streaming. Yeah. I've played it with myself, I played it with two friends, or one friend, I played it with two and three friends. I've played it in all these different configurations. The fun of the game is the stuff that is about just, like, joking around on the ship, crashing the ship, like, reacting
navigating through storms and stuff.
100%. All that is why it's really good. And none of that stuff has anything to do with progression mechanics. There is what they call horizontal progression in this game, which is to say you gain reputation with factions and you gain money, and with both of those things you can eventually get like different looking gear. You can like change
everything's
out your
cosmetic.
Wooden, right. Everything's cosmetic. You can change out your tankard for one that says it's filled with the spirits of haunted ghosts or whatever, but it's not. It's purple. What you got is a purple cup, my guy. Like, you didn't
change can you hold on, step back. Take a step back.
Uh-huh.
Do not talk about, put some respect on my goth tankard, okay?
All right. All right. I will put some respect on your goth chalice. All right. And
thank you
like
so much.
Cosmetic shit. Here's the thing. I'm pro cosmetic shit and I am pro improv play. Like, I'm so pro both of those things. I am glad.
Why does that sound like improv play just sounds
you're
like
right,
a sex
you're
thing?
Right, you're right.
It's a wording there. Yeah.
I'm gonna step back. I am pro improv play. And also pro improving inside of video games.
Okay.
So, just to be clear, it's yes and, right?
That's yes and. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for clarifying. Thank you so much.
And so the thing there is just like the game. At some point they sat down in a room and said, should we have stats on these weapons? Should we have armor? Should we have boats that get stats? The boats don't have stats. You're not upgrading boats. You're not adding cannons to boats. You're not doing anything like that, right? Which, and it's not like they're rare. They've made lots of video games before. They understand what the world of video games looks like. And so that decision, the decision not to have like, oh, this is my +2 blunderbuss of fire, and instead just be like, oh yeah, this is a blunderbuss that's gold. It's my gold blunderbuss or whatever. That's an active decision that they made and designed the game around that. We could all play that game for 200 hours and have the same abilities, I believe.
I'm into it.
A brand new player has. Do you know what I mean? Like, a brand new player, perfectly outfitted, just like me. Which means that, like, when you do rank up and you get to the high levels of these factions and they send you on more complicated quests, what that really is like the same quest as before, but with more steps. That's a hard proposition to make to somebody who isn't streaming the game, because when I stream the game, I have a lot of fun because I'm goofing around with my friends and I'm in streamer mode. Like, there is streaming a game, even streaming a game by yourself is not exactly the same as playing it by yourself. And streaming with friends where you're all just kind of like tuned in and trying to find, it is like improv, right? Like, it is like, all right, I'm trying to find the bits to play with here. I'm trying to like give people space to have a joke thing. Like, yet when y'all were playing yesterday and just like everybody got drunk and started puking on each other, you can totally do that off stream. You 100% can, and I've done it. It's way more fun for me to do it when I'm on stream and doing it too, because I'm just like in that mode. Do you know what I mean? Especially late at night. And I think the game is really great for that stuff. But I don't know how it can square that with also adding in later, if they do want to add in more traditional progression mechanics, if they do want to add in some sort of guild system, if they do want to add in AI, right? Like, that's my big one, is just like, give me ships to raid that are AI ships, but also, I know how hard it is to make AI. Are you kidding me? That's really hard to make AI. So this game feels like it's at a crossroad, and it never really decided which way to take. Or it took the one, and then is also still a $60 game, which is a lot of dollars, you know? I don't know. I'm so torn on this thing. It's one of the most beautiful games I've played in a long time. Your goth cup looks so good.
I'm into the game.
If it goes in one path or the other, I hope it goes in the more creative, weird improv path.
Right.
Yeah.
We have so many games that do the other thing, that I'm sorry that they didn't ship that Disney Pirates of the Caribbean game. Like, I'm
God,
sorry that
fuck
you...
fuck you for
I'm
even bringing that up, Patrick.
No!
Do people know about this thing?
Yeah, go look it up. It's going to bum me out because that game looked really good. and it was canceled. I'm sorry that this game doesn't seem like it's that, but I would hope they're like the stuff that I'm having fun with, like feels like it's scratching at a, like it, there's a there, and I just hope they keep scratching and expanding on that as opposed to, and they might be able to do a little bit of both, right? Like I think it's possible that they can add a more meaningful progression system that doesn't, that still ends up being a level playing field where you're still the, you know, skill level, like or equipment level is the same for the person with 1 hour and the person with 100 hours. But I think there are ways they can kind of come at it with both ends, but I hope the real investment is in like player creativity and the weirdness, or like, man, like I would love it if like our crew could go like race another like ship. Like, what if we have two crews go race in like a series of rocks where like the weather's all fucked up and weird, like just stuff like, or like, I don't know.
What if there are user generated quest content? What if users could build challenges like that?
What if the Twitch stream could influence things in some way? Like, this is a game that would be perfect for that. Where like, if like people could like bring the Kraken, or people could summon. I don't know. I hope it leans into that side of it, because I think that's what I find to be special about this game. It may not last. I don't know how I'm going to feel about this game a month from now or even a week from now. But what I hope that they lean into is more of that, because I think that's more of what I find interesting than it is going to be like, you know, a level 3 blunderbuss.
God. All right. Any other thoughts on Sea of Thieves? Anyone else? Having this conversation, this is the weirdest thing about it. Just like, whenever I have this conversation, whenever I talk to somebody else about it, whenever I read somebody else, the true Sea of Thieves, the true, as Patrick said in another chat I'm in with him, the real roller coaster of Sea of Thieves is Brad Shoemaker's feelings about
emotional it. Emotional reaction to, I think this is great. I think this is terrible. I think this is great.
No,
is
he, this good? What he was saying last night, like, seemed like he, you know, him saying, oh, I'm sitting out alone in a ship in the middle of the night in with all my lanterns off, just hoping that this ship I see with my looking glass passes me. And that's like, that is the shit that gets me excited about the game. You know, like, well, I love those tense moments where you don't see a ship for a while, you're doing good, you're sailing really well, and then all of a sudden you sail into a storm, or all of a sudden there's a galleon, like, you know, right off the port side.
I think maybe the real tension here is actually that we're broken. That, like, that shit is great, and it's been a long time since games have given us something like that and said, all right, this is it. Like, have that good moment. That good moment doesn't need to turn into an XP bonus. Mm-hmm. That good moment doesn't have to turn into a rattling saber times 7 or whatever. It doesn't have to have a special loot drop at the end of it. And and from playing so many games that have moved towards that kind of RPG mechanics, those very clear player progression, like mechanical statistic player progression things. Even in the games that we talk about how, oh, it's really about player skill, like Dark Souls or something like that. Oh, what I love about this is, you know, your skill is what really improves. Your knowledge base really improves. A lot of them still also offer you mechanical bonuses. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And so I'm curious if maybe there is a world in which, if we had not gone through the Call of Duty 4-ification of the world, if you know, Fallout 3 and 4 had not helped push, or 3 especially, helped push us towards a world where every game was both a first-person shooter and an RPG or whatever, we would be satisfied with the story of staying out at night and like being afraid of the pirates coming in, right? Like the first thing that happened to me on my stream was like after I spent literally 40 minutes on Monday playing this game looking for chickens, which sucked. I hate that faction. I was looking forward to that faction so much. I was really truly looking forward to it, and I hate it. I went to turn in the chickens and I was like, there's a fucking galleon already here. Like, I have to sneak these chickens onto this island, because if I don't, they're going to see me and kill me and steal my chickens. And it worked out fine. I was able to deliver my chickens. And the guy found me, in fact, and, like, started dancing in front of me. And, like, a wave of relief washed over me. And that was great. And, like, that moment is so good on its own. It shouldn't even matter that I can't really buy anything that, like, I can't buy a better sword with the money I got from selling the chickens. I should be happy with that experience. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how to get us back from – not that it's on me. I'm not the captain of video games.
The captain of the video game ship.
I don't know how to turn the ship video games away from stat bonuses and back towards, like, the Kraken is here, but I think, like all of you, I'd rather see them continue to try that than
yeah.
I don't want to wake up one day and have them, like, have turned this into Diablo or Destiny. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be so depressing.
The best part about Sea of Thieves existing is that I have never had an Xbox account, so I've never had a gamer tag, and I was able to get the gamer tag XXXXX69420XXXXX, and I think that's just been the best part.
Yeah.
You know what? Congratulations.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations. Hard work pays off.
It does.
It all comes together in the end. Yep. All right. We're gonna call it there today. Unfortunately, no time for question bucket. But I do want to initiate a thing that we actually tried doing this forever ago on this show, which was to end with something like the Slate Podcast cocktail chatter or the Idle Thumbs endorsement.
Yes.
But maybe in reverse, right? Which is like those tend to be like those are kind of set up like not in reverse at all. What's something that you've played or seen or watched this week that you didn't get to talk about here, but you want to give a little bit of airtime. Does anyone have anything to mind? Anything wholesome? And
I have something wholesome.
Okay, what's up?
I'll volunteer first.
Oh, you want to go first?
Yeah, I'll go first. So, over the weekend, I had a Limerita night with my friends. Good. We were talking.
Oh, Limeritas! That's a great endorsement. I'm really happy that we endorsed Limeritas. So can we move on?
We were. So we were talking about how bad Limeritas were, and so I suggested having a Limerita night, and we were talking about what we should do for Limerita night because we're like a pretty big group chat, of, like 15 people. And I suggested maybe we watch, some anime, and
big
the
anime
first,
fans, sure.
Yeah. And the first thing that popped into my head was, Sailor and the Seven Balls, which is a 2000, Western made Sailor Moon, Dragon Ball, million anime crossover porn that if you basically go into any Japanese video store, it will be just like the first thing you see in the porn section. So all of us popped up in Pornhub and started watching Sailor and the Seven Balls.
Does not endorse piracy. I just have to say that. Otherwise, we watched the second one
because the first one's a little bit harder to get, and it was absolutely out of control. Basically, you just have to find the seven balls. That's the whole gist of the thing. But
yeah, I've seen what ended up
being just a rabbit hole of utter hell was there was supposed to be a Sailor and the Seven Balls video game that was scheduled to come out in 2000, and friend of lots of us on the show, Chris Person, Papa Pichu on Twitter, ended up just digging into this company's old archive and finding all of these blog posts about this video game that was on hold because they were working on their next movie. They ended up making a movie called Star Balls, which got copyright from Lucasfilm, and they tried to sue Lucasfilm. And
did they win? How'd that shake out?
I don't actually remember, but it's all on the internet. The game never came out, but if you don't Google it, but if you do Google it, there are a few graphics that are just absolutely incredible, like 3D one skin tone boob. Like graphics.
Oh my God.
And
Starballs, by the way, I'm just going to read this here from animenewsnetwork.com. This is a parody of several movies combined in all together Star Wars parody. It stars Sailor Moon as the princess and Goku as quote unquote Han Solo.
Great. Also in Sailor and the Seven Balls, it was two people doing the voice acting for the entire movie.
Thank you for your endorsement.
That's all.
That's
good. You're welcome.
That's really something.
Does anyone have a follow-up?
I can't top that.
I mean, this is usually what happens when I'm on the podcast, so.
Mm-hmm. I can both connect. It's totally connect mine to Danica's a bit of work.
Okay, cool.
So one, I want to recommend a really great profile in GQ they did of the Stardew Valley creator, Eric Barone.
That's right.
I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. And like often profiles, when we say profiles in video games, is like, oh, they wrote like 1,200 words about a person and like they did like one interview. And I'm saying that as like an indictment of like a lot of my own work.
We suck.
Because that's usually the amount of like time that you can invest in something like that. And like when you like a real profile that appears in like places like Vanity Fair, Esquire, and or GQ, which is a lot of them on like celebrities and things like that. You know, it's like you spend a lot of time, you know, a whole day with someone and, you know, dozens of hours of talking and blah, blah, blah. So that just doesn't happen in games all that often. And so it's cool to see GQ investing the time and resources. And it's a really interesting profile, of, like a really interesting game and creator. So there's that. But then related to it is that there's a photo at the top of that profile of the creator of Stardew Valley that has caused a bit of a thirst.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that going around
on the internet. And so I want to point people towards a tweet from Merritt K. She has written for us and a number of other outlets. It's just go. It's just at Merritt K, M-E-R-R-I-T-T-K. And let me pull up the tweet. How far back do I have to go? I just had it.
I don't even see it.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
It's from a day ago. So you have to scroll back a little bit. Hey, how come the Stardew Valley got hot? And I just want you to look through. There's a lot of replies to this. And the I'll just give you a taste. Feeling a little bit Stardew Damn it. Feeling a little Stardew in my valley, if you know what I mean. And it just goes from there. It just goes from there. So I just, you know, read that profile and then read. This is what happens when you write profiles, is you get tweets like that.
I really appreciate this one here from UA Yvonne, who says, the glow up is astonishing, and it's a picture of Shane from Stardew Valley and then of Eric Barone. Very good. I had not noticed that Shane was just Eric Barone until now. That's very good. God. All right. Danielle, can you top that?
Nope. I can't top that. There's no topping that.
You have another one?
I have something that's like a good thing. But it's not gonna top that.
Okay.
I'll tell you about my good thing though.
Yeah, tell us about your good thing.
So there's a show, it's a sci-fi original series, it's a anthology series. It's called Channel Zero. The current season is called Butcher's Block. And it is fantastic. I don't think anything will ever top the second season of Channel Zero because that was like sublime. I actually wrote about it in an open thread. That was like an incredible, incredible examination. So it's a horror, I should say. It's a horror anthology series. And it's all sort of loosely based on like creepypasta, like, sort of like internet-ish folktale kind of stuff. But it's all with like incredible, very sort of fresh horror imagery, I would say. Things you have not seen 1,000 times in other horror media. And really interesting, really weird stories, really interesting angles. This one is about a young woman her biggest fear in life is that she will become schizophrenic because her sister and her mother are both have paranoid schizophrenia. And she meets a dude who is sort of feasts upon mental illness. I'll just put it that way. And it has like, again, incredible, very interesting imagery. Really, really like if I had to call it near anything, if you remember The Cell, a not great 2000 movie that had just like astonishing horror imagery. Like it evokes some of that stuff on occasion with a much lower budget, which I actually think is more interesting. So definitely watch that if you like horror stuff and just generally like creepy fiction in general. It's real good.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring us back to the wholesome content I wanted us to have.
Okay.
Show. Speak for yourself. I think what I talked about was pretty wholesome.
Oh my fucking God. You could spell it that way, I guess.
There is nothing there not wholesome holes. About Sailor Moon and Goku having
there
sex.
Not, there are lots
There's
of that's
holes.
True. Okay, go on.
Ni no Kuni 2 is a very cool game that I'm only a few hours into. It's also an anime. There are characters in it who are anime characters. They don't have sex. Instead, they fight monsters.
Yet.
I'm only a few hours in. I guess at some point it could become an orgy, but that seems unlikely. It is a very quaint kind of throwback action JRPG, lots of hacking and slashing here. And I'm not actually, the sub endorsement I want to make is not even just playing it, which I think it's pretty good. I'm not that far into it. A lot of people I trust really like it. I know Danica, you played some of it and really enjoyed what you played.
Yeah. And also Ni No Kuni, the first one, was my game of the year 2013. Right. So nice. A lot of people haven't played the first one. And I'm like, the first one is extremely good.
The stuff that I really love here, I really like a lot of the world building. I really love Hot President, who gets yes. transported from like the modern age via nuclear bomb into yep. this fantasy realm.
And the fact that he has a pistol.
Yeah, my guy just has a gun. My guy just like rolls through in the middle of a coup and is like, oh, I guess there's weird mouse people here who are throwing a coup. Blap! And then just like just goes off on them. It's great. But like the characterization has been really fun. It's really beautiful. I haven't gotten any of the kingdom building stuff yet, but it sounds great. So I'm really eager to get to that stuff. But the thing I'm actually endorsing is like the way I'm playing is I'm basically playing it like it's an episodic TV show. I'm playing it like 30 minutes at a time, 40 minutes at a time per day. And I'm just like dropping in for a little dose of like, you know, very beautiful, colorful, light, airy JRPG and moving on. And that has been a really nice reprieve for me during a very heavy, hectic week. And that's what I'm endorsing today. I want people to find something in your lives that you can just kind of like, let me just retreat into this for just like 30 minutes and recharge my batteries and then come out. So that's us. That's it for this week.
Also, Yakuza Kiwami 2 got a US release date of August like 28th or something. And so, whoo, baby!
Very exciting. All right, that's going to do it for us today. I'm Austin Walker. You can follow me on Twitter at Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Danica?
You can find me on Twitter at Danica Harrod.
Danielle?
At Danielle R.I.
Patrick?
At Patrick Lupik.
Follow him. I already said where I'm at. You can follow Waypoint at twitter.com/waypoint, facebook.com/waypoint, Vice, youtube.com/waypoint Vice also, and twitch.tv/waypoint. Go watch those Sea of Thieves streams. Sea of Thieves streams. They're all very good. And then also you come to the website, waypoint.vice.com, to check out some of the Guns and Games content we've been doing. I'm really proud of a lot of it. I'm really proud of all of it. It hasn't all gone up yet. Otherwise, I would say I'm really proud of all of it, but the rest of it isn't gone up yet. Stay tuned for that all week. And thank you, as always, to Bowen for letting us use the track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that. waypoint.zone/BOEN. As always, if you have questions, send those to gaming@vice.com. Next week, we will definitely get to some of those questions. I think that's going to do it. Danielle, what do we say to him on this snowy, snowy day?
Be good and be good at it.
Peace.